Stephanie Michelle, and this episode I'm joined with Savannah Kay. Hope you guys enjoy the conversation and the jokes.
Yes, because now it's recording.
Oh. Don't mind at all.
Okay. Trying to find a bra in the middle of the quarantine.
I saw somebody put up something the other day and it said, I've worn more masks than bras this year. And it really spoke to me.
Mask up, tits out.
There we go. There's
happy
a mock.
2020.
There we go.
Right?
We're going into this very positive. But I'm going to go ahead and start it. So I'm Stephanie Michelle. This is Finding the Funny. I'm here with Savannah Kay. Yeah, you're good. I hate recording on Skype because of you're like, wait, am I good? Can I talk? It's crazy.
I know, because you don't know. You're not sure what's happening for sure.
Definitely. Well, I'm super excited to talk to you. I know as soon as you came on, I was like, I missed that face.
Aww.
And I don't see you enough.
I know. I don't know when the last time we saw each other was before the quarantine, before 2020.
I want to say it was
back in the good old days.
I know we had a show in Claremont together.
Apple Valley.
We have had shows in Apple Valley. Zach Elk ran a show and we were both on it.
No.
Was that the most recent?
There was some other girl with big tits. Yeah.
No, your tits are unforgettable.
You're getting me confused.
Maybe it wasn't Claremont. So that whole area over there, I get all of those cities mixed up on a regular basis and I never say the right city.
Zach Elk has never booked me in anything.
Well, it was Zach Elk and somebody else.
Or was it Eddie Jarvis?
Oh, maybe we've done that show together. I know we've done a couple.
Maybe it was Eddie. You were hosting that, and my friend Sam Ridley came out with this name dropping.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know we've done a couple.
So maybe that one, but we also did the show in Apple Valley together.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
I know.
Done a few things together.
I know, and I'm always like, I feel like I need to see you more, because I always love chatting with you.
The more I'm in comedy, the more I appreciate other women in comedy, because I feel like we're a unique tribe, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
It's only a certain kind of woman that can do this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's funny because I think when you first start comedy, we're pinned against each other a lot.
And I think we're probably maybe one degree of separation away from sleeping with each other.
Yeah, that's probably accurate. Half the time, it might be a half.
I don't even know. I don't even know.
And this is the point where we get sad.
We'll leave that alone.
You're like, let's not.
No.
But you're one of the few comics that knows what it's like to be a female getting on stage and being usually the only female at a show. But you know what it's like to be a mom and trying to balance all of that.
Guilty as charged. Yes. Yes.
So, okay. How long have you been doing
comedy?
That's
more than a notion. That's more than enough, and she might be coming home in a minute, and I'm going to be like, yes,
I lost you.
And so, yeah, it's a trip. It's a trip. We regulate what to wear. I'm like, you're wearing that. You know, she's like, you're wearing that. Like, she's a little, I'm not sure how she really feels about the whole Savannah Kay and the whole, you know, that side of me that, you know, but she hasn't really seen. I mean, it's an interesting thing, Stephanie. It really is. And in terms of sexuality and being a woman and what, you know what I mean? Like, I'm wondering when that space is going to be where I'm okay with her
seeing
some of my work. You know what I mean?
So how long have you been doing it?
She's seen some comedy and stuff, but it's been the clean stuff. You know, it hasn't been like the raunch. You know what I mean?
Because how old is she?
She's 17.
Okay. And how long have you been doing comedy?
So not that long. Mm-hmm. Only about, I'll be going into, well, I mean, do we count 2020?
I don't want
really
to.
Really about two and a half years.
Oh, okay.
So I met you pretty much when I was starting, but I had done improv and theater. So I had this whole stage, you know, thing going on before that. Mm-hmm. But comedy is fairly new to me. So it was just, yeah. I mean, I met you at, you know, there are reminiscing the girl, the Flappers, Vermont.
Yeah.
Don't make me cry. Don't make me get sentimental.
It's
misty eyed. But yeah, but I met you and you were so sweet and I totally bombed that night. And you're like, I kind of liked your stuff. And I was like, girl, bitch, you were high. Like, you know, but you,
I might have
you were
been.
Sweet.
But I.
You probably were. I think you probably were. But I was like, thank you. I mean, it was not my finest hour. But you were kind. You were kind and sweet.
I think that it's, you can bomb and still have something in there that somebody connects to. So it might not have been great, but there was something I liked.
So here's what's funny. I know, like, so, I love you. I love that you're admitting, like, yeah, you kind of did. You really did. But it's true. But, you know what I mean, to yourself. But what's funny to me is how I used to, I would come off stage and I'd be like, and you like put on Facebook or something, you'd be like, man, I crushed or whatever, you know? It's hilarious to me, like, how your definition of crushing it changes, you know, more you do. You
I don't think I mean? I've ever so crushed. I know, right? I go
well,
back.
Because it changes. That definition changes.
It does.
Because I think at the time, I definitely come off stage and I'm like, man, I crushed, you know? But then, like... 6 months later, you play back that tape and you go, you know, two people laughed. You know what I mean?
I'm so jealous of the people that get off stage.
I've had some good nights for sure. That of course I'm like, oh, and the tape didn't turn out right. You know, so
that's the most annoying thing.
The worst. It's the worst, and your head's cut off or something.
Yeah. And it's always the one angle.
Here I am crushing, but my head and my left boob are not, you know, are completely absent or something. So.
I mean, but if you have one boob, then I feel like it's a complete tape. So.
Do you like my set or do you like my set, right?
There you go.
I'm drinking.
You are.
I'm drinking, and I think it's appropriate for 2020 in a red solo cup, lemonade and vodka.
Which we just talked about.
Lemons 2020 make lemonade, right? Add vodka. So that's what I'm going with.
I like that we both had lemonades, but mine's a THC lemonade.
I love that you're a functional stoner. I'm not. I get too paranoid.
Oh, see, yeah, I can understand that.
But I like the indica. You like the indica?
The one I have is sativa.
No.
That's
really?
Yeah, I like
it. Don't trip you out? You don't get all two in your head and
I usually do it and then I write or I record or something creative happens right after.
Oh. Can you smoke weed and go on stage and do your comedy? I'm interviewing you now.
I have. If that was my best choice, probably not, but it's okay. I feel like we have to make a couple bad choices in our comedy. But, like, there's other comics that I've talked to, and they do, like, every single time they're stoned, but you can't tell that they're stoned.
I don't get it. I can't do it.
Well, cause, but you drink before you go on stage, right? But you're not drunk ever.
Yeah, but you're a lush, you know. No, I mean, I drink, but for real, I'll do, like, maybe one. I'll drink a glass of Chardonnay. That's it. One time I had like three glasses and that was not a good choice.
Yes, you need to find your balance. You know, for you, one glass of Chardonnay is your sweet spot.
Everything in moderation, including moderation.
There you go. Perfect. Right.
That's my
motto. So you said you did improv and theater before. How long were you doing that?
So I've done theater ever since I was, I'm 106 years old.
Oh, okay.
Obviously. So.
There you go.
That's a great time. Thank you. Thank you.
You look great.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Since I was a teenager, I was a teenager, I did theater. It was like saved my life doing theater and doing art and all that. So I was completely a messed up teenager going down the wrong track. And then I started doing theater and I did a lot of comedy roles in theater. I did improv and stuff like that. I always wanted to do stand-up comedy. And for whatever reason, I never took that leap until, you know, one day you just run out of give a fucks, you know,
yeah.
and you do it, you know, and my brain, enough heartache and enough pain and enough just, yeah. So, I just had some interesting twists and turns in my life and a little bit, I don't know, it's a little bit of my midlife crisis, you know?
I love it. It's a much healthier midlife crisis than some people.
Thank you.
See?
Thank you.
That's the only time comedy's ever been the healthy choice.
Right. It was this or heroin. Thank you. Yes. I made it. Right.
Priorities.
Yeah. Right. I could be in a gutter. Right. So instead I did comedy. But no, I think I wanted to do it all my life. And a friend of mine was doing comedy and I kept writing jokes for her. And I would call her. I was calling her like early in the morning. I was like, what about this? And what if you did that? And I was just like living vicariously through my friend who was doing stand up. And then I just, finally I just did it. So I love it. It's, it really is the most fun you can have with your clothes on. You know what I mean?
There you go.
And I miss it. I miss it. Cause we're like sitting the Zoom mics. I'm not feeling it. What about you?
I don't like them.
I can't do it. It's like vegan cheese.
I don't mind vegan cheese, but I don't like Zoom mics.
I'm not a fan of vegan cheese. It's like, it's not the real thing.
Yeah, no, they're uncomfortable and awkward. But some people love them.
I did one Zoom mic thing. I did not do well. It was not. But I mean, you see, like these great comedians. It has been because we're seeing like Jimmy Kimmel's and we're seeing like all these, you know, late night hosts and all that. And you're like, no, you know what I mean? It does sort of like, it is a great equalizer in a way.
Yes.
You just go, okay, they're working on their stuff. You know what I mean? Like you get a, it's been interesting this whole journey.
Yeah. So have you done a lot of Zoom mics and things like that or just not really?
I have not. I did an interview thing like this. I mean, I did a show in Apple Valley recently, and I did like a 30-minute set, and that was cool. Yeah.
I love it.
I know. And I hadn't been up in like 6 months or something. And I went up there, and I was twerking and being weird, and it was good. I mean, it was interesting because people were so ready to laugh right
now.
You know,
so I think that
I've done some outdoor venues and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm crazy. I go back and forth with the COVID of being completely freaked out. And then like kind of, you know, okay, well, we got to live our life. You know, I'm all over the road with it.
It comes
every
away.
Day, a little bit of a panic attack, but beyond that.
Yeah, no, definitely. It seems to come in waves to like the feelings with COVID.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
It is. So
you feel like you've been holding your breath since like March. I just fall.
Yeah. I'm losing my mind. I just want to get back on stage.
Yes, I don't think any of us thought it would last this long.
No.
Right? I mean, I remember telling my daughter, it'll be a few weeks, it'll be, you know, it'll be a month, and we'll, you know, and it's been, I'm going to go slip my wrist. Okay.
No, well, let's talk about something better.
Right? It is. It's like you just try not to get too damn depressed.
Definitely.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I'm pretty sure one of the clips you sent me was from the show you did recently, the outdoor one. And well, because you even talk about learning to twerk or working on your twerk in quarantine.
Yeah.
I've been working on my twerking during the quarantine, you know, and my friend Juanita, she's like, Savannah, you twerk like a poor, white trash, trailer park, crack hoe, trying to get some fresh dick at Walmart on a Tuesday. I said, well, Juanita, I'll tell you what, I am going to choose to take that as a compliment. And for the record, y'all, I do most of my twerking at Walmart on Wednesdays. Okay. But do not judge me. Do not judge me and do not be offended. I want you to know while I'm doing it, of course I'm wearing a mask. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Are you working on your twerk in quarantine?
Yeah, I've done. I have religiously.
There you go. That's our goals. Well, I always love you come out on stage with so much energy. And it makes it hard to not want to pay attention to you. And so, was that hard to do, like, that much energy on stage at first? Because you've always done it every single time I've seen you.
No. I feel like, it's like, it's hard not to. It's hard not to, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a lot, I got a lot going on inside of here. There's a lot of energy I got going. And I feel like it's interesting you say that, Stephanie, because in some ways I feel like I still hold back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like there's still so much more that I need to.
Well, I think being two and a half years in.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, being 2.5 years in, you're still learning. Like, I'm still learning just a couple years longer. And it's like, but you have such a natural energy that comes out that's so contagious when you're on stage. And I love that that's just naturally part of who you are. Well, It's interesting because, like,
I'm such a
low energy comic in comparison to you, but I'm always like, man, I wish.
But that's also effective. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it's also interesting. It also can pull you in a different kind of way because you're very grounded and you're very, you know, centered and you know what I'm saying? Like, it's very honest. Your work is very honest and there. Yeah. I mean, we have similarities, I think, in that we both, we both juggle these different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a mom and I mean, that's a goal for me is I think because I've been protective of my daughter and this is sort of, you know, Savannah. So I'm going to disclose Savannah K is not even my real name. Mm-hmm. I know. Shocker.
Yes.
I know. I've disclosed it here on the Stephanie Michelle. So I have a government name. That I go, so I have like, you know, Savannah K is kind of I don't want to say a persona, but it's
a safe place.
It's a safe place. It's my happy, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Live
out loud, crazy place. Yeah.
I get
and
it.
So it's interesting because that's just where I started. It's interesting now trying to bring other elements into that.
Oh, definitely.
You know? Yeah.
And
but yeah.
I mean, like I said, I didn't know you'd only been doing it for 2.5 years, so I'm just kind of, like, in awe with
you. I know, and then that's kind of crazy, too, because I'm like, do I even, you know what I mean? Because part of me is, and that's been interesting, too, because I've had some good opportunities, mm-hmm. and I don't want to squash that, because I do feel like I've had a lot of stage experience.
Yes.
But comedy's a different animal, you know, people, you know what I mean, so...
It is, but that's still just impressive.
Yeah, but I feel like sometimes if I say 2.5 years, I should lie. What do you think?
I like that you're honest, but I've had people tell me that I should lie and up how many years I've been doing it.
I know.
I think it's 1 year in, and I had somebody be like, "Don't tell anybody that you've been doing it less than 3. They won't look at you serious." And I kind of did that, and then I had a show, and this guy came up, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, you're hilarious!" And I said, "1 year," and he went, "Oh, really?" And I was like, "And imagine what I'll do next year."
I know,
year.
Right? And it's like, would they have booked you?
Yeah,
I know.
He booked me, but he didn't give me as much time.
I've had that work both ways. Yeah, you know. So I don't know. But I also tell people I'm 21 and that I've just done a lot of drugs. And that I've already talked, you know what I mean? And that's why, you know, so just a little, you know, venture with crystal meth, but you know,
Well, and you actually, that's another one of the jokes that you sent me is you start off by saying it's your birthday. You just had your 21st birthday. That joke is actually, it kind of goes through a couple different layers because you have a way of just jumping in and adding extra, like, little tags to your jokes. And it makes, like, a joke that could be 30 seconds go on so much longer and be so much funnier when you're done with that. Do you, like, how much time does it take to write, like, a joke like that one where you're saying, like, when you start off with it's your birthday and going down that road?
So it just kind of it's so interesting, isn't it? Like the anatomy of writing a joke, because that actually came from, I was upset. Like I was at open mic and, one of the guys at the open mic said, "Oh, she's one of the other, he introduced me as like the other.
Oh my god.
Older. Yeah, well, this is a kid who was like, you know, 19, 20, so you know, yeah. Whatever. You're not, your brain isn't fully developed, so fuck
it's
you.
Not.
But you know what I mean? But but he introduced me as like the other older female comic in the Inland Empire or something. It was something like that, you know? And so I was like, you know, and so, but I was talking, you know, I was trying to really be honest on stage. And so that joke came about just, talking to thinking about that, you know, being an older female comic and what that means, and da, 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 da. And so yeah, that's, and then it just, I don't know, and then I just say it out loud in the car, and then I just kind of riff off it and whatever. Wow. Yeah.
So when you get to a show, do you have your jokes, like, I'm going to say this joke, and then this joke, and this joke, or do you kind of, mm-hmm. you go, okay. I'm always curious about that.
I do, and then I go, and then you look at the crowd, and you go, oh, that's not going to work, or, you know, you got the young guy in the audience, and you're, I'm going to play with him, and then he gets up and leaves, you know, 5 seconds before you get on stage, and then you go, what, now what, you know? Yeah. So, yes, and, I mean... I do. I mean, I found that for me, like, it's good that I have my set that I'm going to do. And then
you play with it.
And then I can riff off that. But I always feel like I need an anchor and to be grounded in certain beats or whatever. And that actually, the structure gives me freedom in a way. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's been... my best, but
it's like a safety
net. I'm learning. I don't know. Yeah. But I mean, like my friend Jerry Law. I mean, and just the people that can just rip, that can just,
oh my God.
You know, I'm getting better at crowd work, but even sometimes my crowd work, I'll orchestrate a little bit. You know, like I'll go, oh, if there's this person in the audience that I can say this or this or that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what do you do that?
I do crowd work. I love hecklers. Because then they give me a chance to play with it. But
yeah,
that's kind of why. It's like you react off their reactions or sometimes lack of reactions. And so that's what I do. But I have like a basic outline of like, this is where I think the night's going to go. But I might get one joke in and realize that that's not what's going to happen. And it might go a completely different direction. And then it's playing on what I know.
And you know what's weird is because it's so delicious when comedians at my level, you know, which is, you know, I'm just trying to learn and do what I can do.
Yeah.
Get like a real show.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're used to like doing crazy dive bar stuff and gigs, you know, like in the laundromat or whatever.
In a barber shop.
Right. I mean, I have been shameless during quarantine talking to people about, I mean, I've been doing my work wherever I can, girl. But yeah, I mean, you know, so I feel like when you get the privilege of really being able to have that audience where people are like, wow, we came here to see comedy and we're engaged and we're really paying attention to you. Like, that's just, how delicious is that?
Oh.
You know what I mean? As opposed to, we're like, you know, like guerrilla war fighters in the middle of Walmart. Like, we decided we're going to do a comedy show. What do you got? You know what I mean? We're trying to get the attention of everybody or something. That's great.
But those rooms, actually, those are some of my favorite rooms when you get the whole room to shut up and pay attention.
Yeah.
Those are so much fun.
But that's why I think I've become, you know, I say crazy shit too, yeah. because sometimes that's where you get like really blue and really raw. It's, you know, you have to get up there and say, oh, I'm going to set my tooth on fire now, you know, or something like that. And then it's like, okay, now I have your attention. Thank you very much. You know,
there you go. So if you actually set your tits on fire, you have no go-to.
I know. Then what?
What's the next step after
that? How do you top that?
I don't know. Now there's so much to think about. I did want to ask you, so where was your first open mic?
Flappers,
Claremont?
Where dreams come true. Yeah, and then they closed it down.
Then, now right no after. More dreams.
Right after my open, Savannah K performed, you know, and then right after.
Okay.
And here's what happened.
So wait, when I saw you, that was your first time?
No. It was like, that was, I mean, but it was not that long after that we met.
Okay.
Yeah.
I miss Flappers in Claremont so much.
Yeah. I do. That was a good little vibe we had going for a minute.
Yeah, because I had spent way too much time and money. I know. That is our version of going uphill in the snow, is Flappers Claremont.
I know. What happened to Flappers Claremont?
So much happened.
Too much.
There was a lot. Unfortunately, I have way too many people that were like tied into it.
One night this guy stood me up. Okay. So one night, I had a bad breakup, and then I had another date, and this guy stood me up. And, well, he didn't stand me up, but he was late. He was super late.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to go. I said, you do what you want to do. I'm going to go over to this open mic and just check it out. And that was my first open mic. That's the first time I went up.
So wait, you actually went up on stage that night?
Yeah.
Did you know what you were going to talk about on stage?
Well, I kind of, no, okay, lies. I lied. I didn't go up that night. I went up and I checked it out. And then the next Friday night I went up.
Okay.
And I did. And I didn't know what I was going to talk about.
So you wrote actually your jokes before going on stage?
Yeah. So then I did.
Oh my gosh.
But that was the catalyst. It's weird how life works, you know?
It does. So, it takes something crazy to get this all started. Yeah. For some of us. Yeah. So do you remember what you joked about the first time on stage?
The first joke I told was, okay, let me see. Oh my God, you picked me on the spot. I said, it was right after the Roseanne Barr thing had happened, right? Okay. I said, something about, it's my first time on stage and I was going to take an Ambien, take the edge off, you know, but I heard that makes you a racist cunt. And then I said, I don't want to do that because I like black men too much. And yeah, it just went on from there.
Oh my gosh. I'm always fascinated by the by the first jokes people tell. Like, I love it so much.
So that just kind of just flew out of my mouth. And then I did a whole other crazy bit. So
that's so funny.
About a hashtag Me Too thing. And yeah, I got down on my knees. I mean, I'll just say that. And then that's, but it was fun. Yeah, it was a good, I had a good, about as good as a first open mic, you know, could go. So that was, you know, and then I was hooked. I mean, and I don't know. It's interesting because to me, it's like, even if I do bad, I'm interested with the art of it. You know what I mean? I'm fascinated by what worked and what, and I'm fascinated by the rhythm and the music of comedy. Of like, why didn't that work? That worked then. Why didn't that work now? You know what I mean? And just the energy and the jazz and the music of it.
I love that.
See, I'm not even high. I sound high, Stephanie. I sound like I'm...
Now I can imagine if you had some of my lemonade, this would be a completely different conversation.
I don't imagine.
But I love that.
No, I have to do the indica. If I'm going to do weed, I have to do the indica. I can't do sativa. I'll be paranoid.
That's fine.
I'll think you're an alien.
That's romantic. It's fine. No, it's, yeah, we can get, I don't know if you know this, they make whole places you can go to and you'd be like, I want this kind. And I would like it in this flavor.
Very specific. Yeah,
we can get.
No, I like that. Can I tell you, though, I was wearing my daughter's mask the other day, and it smelled like weed. I don't know if she's smoking weed.
So
I put on her mask. I'm on my leg, and I borrowed your mask. I borrowed her mask, and I'm like, it smells like weed.
So we had a conversation.
But I live in Pomona, so I didn't know.
It could be the air. My daughter had this conversation and she was like, "Mom, how do you feel about me drinking?" And I'm a very honest mom, probably to my detriment. But I was like, "Okay, when you're 21, because it's legal, if you can drink in moderation, I'm completely all for it. But alcohol, you have alcoholics in your family, so moderation is key. If you can't moderation, like, don't do it." And then right after I say this, a commercial for weed comes on. And right. She's like, "Well, Mom, what's your opinion on weed?" And mind you, my daughter's 9.
I know.
And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, child." And I was like, "Okay, same rules apply. It's legal once you're 21, but
right. your brain." Does she know that you partake or no?
No, I don't do it in front of them at all. But,
right.
And because I'm really still functional, like they don't know. But I told her, thank you. No, I told her that your brain stops developing at 25. So ideally, I would like her to be 25 just so that it won't impact her intellect. And so I was like, "Here, do it, but do it responsibly." That's how I am with them. But it's in the laws. So
my daughter says to me, "How do you feel about the fact that I'm able to go on Tinder in 5 months?"
Oh, yo, God. What was that answer?
I know.
I'm so curious.
She can't say. She pushes the envelope. You know?
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But we find common ground because we're like, "What do we watch? What movie do we watch? What movie do we watch?" And then we're like, "Oh, yeah, Zac Efron." You know what I mean? We find like common ground. Like, yeah, let's get that Zac Efron movie.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
My daughter's not into where she's crushing.
I don't date. I don't bring my dates around. You know what I mean? Like, go ahead.
Yeah.
You go.
Oh, no, I was just listening. I completely agree with the no dates, especially in comedy. Dating is so hard.
It's so hard. And I think that was a little overwhelming as a female. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there is, it's a little overwhelming. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean without me saying what I mean.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
there's
a lot of options.
There are options. There are options. And then it's like, but then you go, that person knows, that person knows that. You know what I mean? And so I'm like a dude. I feel like, okay, I gotta, yeah. Because at the same time, as an artist, you know, for me with comedy, it was a real coming out. Like, it does take a lot to sort of just put yourself out there and embrace that. And I think there is, and with my, you know, with Savannah K, it's like, I'm very sexual on stage. I'm very this. And it's so funny to me how sometimes I'll be up there and I'll be being very sexual and I'm twerking and I'm doing all this stuff. And then I walk off stage and some guy is just like, and I'm just like, "Oh my God, how dare you?" Like, you know, I'm like, "Oh, where's he?" Well, you know, I was just like totally bouncing my tits or whatever on stage and doing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this other part of me that's just like, trying to find those boundaries, and it's crazy. I don't know. I'm still navigating that. Can you tell?
No, it's crazy. I definitely can understand that. There was like an appeal to talking to comics.
But then I go, you know what? If we were guys, we wouldn't be tripping.
No,
we would not be tripping. No. We would not be having this conversation.
Yeah. Oh no, definitely.
We'd be like, this is a conversation men would not have.
No. Which is, then I also laugh, because then it's like, you go, if you do a roast battle, you can almost guarantee that everybody's going to bring up a body count. It might not even be an accurate body count, but they're going to bring one up just to talk about you for it, but they won't do that to the other guys.
Yeah, why is that a thing?
I don't know.
Or like, what's her name? No, who's the female rapper who just did the WAP or whatever?
Oh, Cardi B.
Cardi B. Like, men, you know what I mean? Like, they haven't been staying doing raps about, you know, dick forever.
Yeah.
And that's my thing.
I think the only reason that one was so surprising is because she is so much more mainstream than a lot of those guys.
It was... I haven't listened to the song. Have you listened to it?
I'm not a fan of it.
Of Cardi B?
Yeah. I mean, her beats are catchy. The beat is catchy, but I'm not... I think it's too out there for me. But I think I'm also in mama. She's kind of- So
she's like, people need to bring a slip and slide on a date with her or something.
Yeah,
right?
it's and she's talking about a lot, dripping
a lot.
Like, I get it, be happy for it, but that's a
intense.
Lot.
Yeah, it was. I shared bits. Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know. You know, I'm finding out. You know what? I'm that way too because I'm sexual, but there's also for me. Like, yeah. There's this Southern Belle part of me. Like, I'm an old-fashioned girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm this, but I'm also, there's also that I was, you know, I'm raised in the South, and there's, like, this certain decorum or whatever, you know? So that's, it.
You're sexual, but so you're not, that's a
and
line.
To me, the funny is kind of in that, on that line.
Yeah. And I'm all for that. You know what I mean? Support her ability to make that song by all means. And if it's the money, girl, rock it. Like, don't care. I also get to support my choice to not listen to it, which is the same way I feel when people get offended by my comedy. It's like, let me say it. You can just not listen, and it's fine. So, that's my mind.
But you were kind of, you're not bringing the raunch.
I'm not sexual on stage. If I talk about sex, I talk about how awkward I'll make it. Like,
right.
But I say offensive things in another direction. I tend to go much darker humor.
Yeah.
So I offend people.
I'm finding my level of comfort with that. But I find that I try to write clean all the time. Like, my goal is always to write clean. And then I... And then I end up just being, like, nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I try to do both.
Clean is an interesting beast.
On that road.
Clean is... I've run clean shows, and having to go through, like, that, like, brief before with comics is always fun. It's not fun at all. Like, I hate it.
It forces you to... To be creative and to look at the, you know, sometimes it's funnier. Sometimes you can, well, I don't know.
It's different.
I think dancing on the line is the funniest, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's so funny. The whole reason I started doing clean comedy was because I had a place and they're like, hey, we want you to produce a show here monthly. We'll pay you. We'll pay the comics. We want it to be clean. And they're like, you do clean comedy, right? I'm like, yeah, I've been doing it for years.
Of course I do clean comedy.
I had a month to write a clean set. That's how I started clean.
I'm the Mother Teresa of comedy. Of
it's
clean
so
comedy.
Pure.
Are you kidding me? Of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't look at clean comedy till I was forced to. And so
even then
I struggle with it. So
Fred Astaire, when he got his first tap dancing job, they said, do you know how to tap dance?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know how to tap dance. And he's all, of course I know how to tap dance. Yeah.
Really? So, I've never heard that story. I love that.
I've heard that. I think that's true.
Oh my gosh. I would love that if it's true. But that's what they say to do in Hollywood is on your resume to write, like, everything that you've even thought about doing.
I mean, that's honestly, again, you know, like I said, I haven't been doing it for that long, but it's like opportunities just started happening and it took on a life of its own. And I've kind of had that attitude of just like, of course I can, you know. Yeah. Even when I'm scared to death, you know, even when I'm like, I'm like, what? Are you kidding? Okay, you know, and going for it. So it's been, Yeah,
I love that.
I love it. I want to get back to it. I miss it so much. I miss it. It makes me want to cry right now. Aww. You know what I mean? Really?
It feels like part of you is missing.
What's that?
I said right now it just feels like part of me is missing.
Like it does a little bit. Yeah. It does. It does. And hugs, right? Okay. Because, you know, one thing I've noticed about comedians is we all have this, there's a little bit of an edge because you have to have a little bit of that edge to survive in it, right?
Yeah.
You have to be, you got to have your own back and you got to be, you know, there's that thick skin and there's that, all of that that comes across. But we hug each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you go to an open mic and it's like people are whatever and they'll be roasting each other or whatever, but we are always hugging each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I miss stuff like that. Just the little, it's interesting to just hone in and go, wow, you know, it's so precious and so sweet. I can't wait to get back. I can't wait to get back to normal, to form.
I can't wait to find out what our new normal is.
Yeah.
You sent me one more joke, and it's one so different than the other ones that we've kind of mentioned. You say, we talk about being from Texas.
Let me just say, I'm not originally from Southern California, y'all. Can you hear an accent a little bit? I come from a faraway land. I come from a land where you can order Thai food, but you gotta get it with a side of ranch. I come from a land where the men vote for Ted Cruz, and the sheep are nervous. Okay. That's right, I'm from Texas, y'all. That's right. You too? What part?
I was born in El Paso, but raised half my life in Dallas.
Oh, bless your heart. Okay. All right, well, let me just say, one of the things that I do love about Texas is that you can get away with talking so much smack about someone as long as at the end you say,
bless your heart.
Bless your heart. Right? Right. Like you might hear someone say, I don't know what kind of mayonnaise Mary Beth put in that potato salad, but I swear she's going to give the whole congregation the runs. Bless her heart. Or you might hear, did you hear about Billy Ray? Rumor has it, not only does he have the COVID and the gout, he's also having problems in the bedroom. Bless his heart. Or you might hear, did you hear about Savannah Kay? Rumor has it, she has slept with half the town. $2 whore, as far as I'm concerned.
And the bless your heart. And I think it's so funny because the audience knows exactly where you're going, but you still kind of keep it real, like, lighthearted and fun. Because there was somebody in the audience that was from Texas, and in the clip that you sent.
Okay.
Is it hard writing about, like, growing up? Because you do have a different name, and like you've talked about having a different name. Like, where's the line that those lives cross? I'm just curious.
So the question is it hard talking about, you know, Texas? Well, I mean,
like, because I know that's one of your ones that you kind of talk about, like, you very specifically and not just
kind of. Oh, that where I talk, yeah. So what's your question? Is the line of reality, like,
yeah,
versus
for you,
the joke?
Because you do kind of, you do have a split in your it's not a persona, but you're not the same person on and off stage.
Like, you do have a split personality.
Nothing that's not curable with meds.
Yeah, I think that it is. It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of like all the stuff that I want to say on steroids, you know, and I grew up very in a very conservative community, the Bible Belt of Texas.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I so very more rigid, even though my parents are not, you know, conservative, just, you know, mm-hmm. like having to kind of stay within the lines and stuff like that. So it's liberating.
Oh, I bet.
It's liberating to sort of talk about anything with that, but it's also like my parents haven't seen me do comedy.
Okay, I was gonna ask you.
They've seen bits, you know, they've seen little bits that I felt, but I don't know. It's still a journey for me. It's still tender. It's still tender.
Are they, that, you know, they support or they question?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, they don't want me to lose my day job or whatever, you know. And yeah, you know, you gotta be ladylike, you gotta be this, yeah. Southern mentality or whatever. That's interesting. My sister's supportive, different family members are supportive, but it's, I don't know. It's a trip. I don't know what your question is.
It's okay. I was just kind of curious. Like,
now I'm drunk. I don't know.
It's fine.
But,
So your daughter knows about it. I know she kind of does that. You don't know when you're going to let her come to a show, huh?
She's seeing some stuff, you know, and I think it's interesting because my daughter's also an artist, and okay. she's incredibly talented, and she's a singer and a writer and a dancer. She's, you know, brilliant in a lot of ways. And so I feel like we're getting to, you know, as she gets older, we're getting to know each other as women mm-hmm. versus, you know, and we're getting to know each other as artists. And human beings, you know what I mean? So yeah. I look forward to the next leg of our relationship.
Awesome.
To be continued. I don't know. I don't know where any of this is going. I am living out loud and I took improv classes. So that's all I know. You know?
Agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just
trying to get through 2020, girl, you know?
I know. So before all of this, I know COVID and everything has definitely taken a hit on everything like that we planned. But if you were still looking forward, looking at the end game.
The bush is back. Can I tell you that? I'm like, oh, my God. I feel like I got to lose the COVID-19 pounds, you know, that's what I'm sporting here. This is not, it's not good. The struggle's real.
Shit. So after you lose the COVID-20, after you do all of that.
I gotta lose my COVID-19. Oh,
what is your end game in comedy? What do you want? What is like the dream that you want in this?
Dream? I love the guess. Well, I've always wanted to be a tambourine player in a reggae band was one of the dreams. But
that's the best dream I've ever heard.
Right? I mean, I just felt like that would suit me. I have a couple shows, you know, I have a couple one-woman shows or specials in mind. Mm-hmm. One of them is called Southern Discomfort, that just deals with, you know, kind of cracking wide open all of this, you know, all of that crazy stuff that's going on politically and everything that's happening, you know, growing up in Texas and everything. So I got that. I want to tour. I want to be a comedian. I want to, you know, I want it all. I want love. I want to, you know, I don't know. It's all of that. And a house, you know, I think, maybe like a place in Greece, like to live and
I want to go
just kind of get away from it all. So I'll just put all of that on my vision board.
There you go. It seems like a very colorful and beautiful vision board. I can't wait for you to paint or doodle in your next meeting.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I love
that you're doing that. I'm so proud of you for doing this thing, though. This is cool.
Thank you.
This is fun.
I feel like I get to learn you guys in different ways and hearing.
Yeah. This is going to be beautiful. I'm going to send you a check. Thank you for the therapy session. Aww. Appreciate
That's
you.
What I'm here for. And now someday we got to get our lemonades together and drink in person.
I know. We do. I'm going to book you on a show coming up, actually.
Okay, I'm excited.
But, yeah, like in real life, like people are there and stuff.
I don't care if it's one person at this point.
Let's do this.
Well, thank you so much. And I appreciate you and getting to talk to you and seeing your beautiful face after so long.
I know. Thank you. Thank you. Should we sing a song or is this, ending?
You can. I'm going to hit the stop button. But if you'd like to sing before I hit the stop button.
Are we good? Did we do the time? Did I go? Am I running the light?
No, you're good. Okay, wait. Then one more thing. Your favorite, have you have a favorite show, like a favorite time that you've been on stage? I'm curious.
I think my best night in comedy was the Ice House, and I did the Ice House. I did 10 minutes and I just felt like it was just fire. Like that was probably the best.
Were you in the main room or?
The main room was my first time in the main room. And it just bam.
That room feels electric.
You know what I mean? Like that was probably my best moment so far in my life. And the tape. And don't ask to see the tape because I called back the next week. Did you guys tape? Nah.
Oh no. Nah. I remember their camera was broken for such a long time.
Huh? My camera?
No, the camera at the Ice House was broken for like a year.
Oh, I know. Yeah. They're like, no, we didn't. I was like, oh, so bitter. Bitter. Still, yeah. I'm still bitter. But whatever. I mean, you know, but that was a good night. But, you know.
It's one that you get to cherish. Like,
I never saw the tape. So maybe it's all in my head.
It's fine. We'll just leave it in your head. Some things need to stay
there.
I'll
leave it in my head. In my head, I was, you know.
In your
but
head.
But I'm learning all the time. I'm so grateful. Thank you for doing this. Because even doing little stuff like this, it feeds my soul. And I'm grateful for it.
Thank you.
My sister in comedy. Yes. I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and
so let's be in touch. So I'm gonna message you because I want to book you on some stuff. So.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah.
But we will go ahead and say bye to them. Bye, guys.
Okay. Bye, sweetie.
Thanks, guys, for listening to my conversation with Savannah Kay. I hope you follow her so you can see her live when shows start happening again. Want to make sure to say thank you to Dave the Prophet for providing the music. His beats were provided by Curtis King. As always, this is Finding the Funny. I'm Stephanie Michelle, and I hope you enjoyed.
I told my mama on the phone, it ain't no check to check. No more Honda Civics, baby, time to whip that back. Lyrics, beats, and the hooks, I'm a triple threat. Glow up on my Jesus piece, now I'm living blessed. Looney Bin, BYE, you know we down to ride. Try to kill me with this mic, suicide. Since I got on mad, all I hear is fucking lies. More money, more problems, fucking certified. Doja Cat, throw it back. David blowing back, blowing up on Super Saiyan, but I'm fucking holding back. Never stop until I put my fucking city on the map. 3 a.m. on Ocean Air, put the pedal to the max.
You know, one day you just run out of give a fucks, you know,
yeah.
and you do it.